From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled Closet Praying, the second in the series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Perfect Purity. The text is found in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Warrior of the cross, fight on. Never rest till thy victory is complete, for thine eternal reward will prove worthy of a life of warfare. See, here is perfect purity for thee. A few in Sardis kept their garments undefiled, and their recompense is to be spotless. Perfect holiness is the prize of our high calling. Let us not miss it. See, here is joy. Thou shalt wear holiday robes, such as men put on at wedding feasts. Thou shalt be clothed with gladness and made bright with rejoicing. Painful struggles shall end in peace of conscience and joy in the Lord. See, here is victory. Thou shalt have thy triumph. Palm and crown and white robe shall be thy guerdon. Thou shalt be treated as a conqueror and owned as such by the Lord Himself. See, here is priestly array. Thou shalt stand before the Lord in such raiment as the sons of Aaron wore. Thou shalt offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and draw near unto the Lord with the incense of praise. Who would not fight for a Lord who gives such large honors to the very least of his faithful servants? Who would not be clothed in a fool's coat for Christ's sake, seeing he will robe us with glory?
Worship you today.
of the most precious gifts God has given to mankind is the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. For those in the English-speaking world, the ability to own a copy of God's Word is taken for granted. Indeed, many of us possess multiple copies of the Bible. Yet, this was not always the case. There was a time when attempts to translate the Bible into the language of the common people were met with persecution and even death. Men like John Wycliffe and William Tyndale were hunted like outlaws simply because they labored to give God's Word to people in the language they could understand. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available a booklet that briefly traces the history of those efforts, entitled How We Got Our English Bible. This short publication tells the story of the development of the authorized version of the Scriptures as we know it, including the enormous impact of the invention of printing upon the spreading of God's Word. Published by the Trinitarian Bible Society, this booklet is free to all who request it. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of How We Got Our English Bible, and we'll be happy to provide it. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, the Lord Jesus gives specific instructions as to how Christians are to approach their prayer life. Enter into thy closet, that is, get away from other people and distractions, then shut the door. In other words, get alone with God and give your undivided attention to the Lord. If we would go on with God, we must guard the secret place. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message entitled, Closet Praying.
The Word of God is plain in the examples that it gives, that if we are to have communion with God, we must get alone with God, even as our Savior did. We must lay aside every hindrance and every distraction to get alone with Him. Enter your closet. But then he says, shut the door. And in that he's saying, I believe, to get away from all that would hinder or distract us, we must give undivided attention to this matter of prayer. In other words, he's saying, shut the door. This is more than physical withdrawal. This is a mental, this is an emotional withdrawal. Rather, I think it would be better to put it, this is the removal of our thoughts and our feelings into a new sphere. I think we have all experienced this. It's easy enough to go into the closet and to remove yourself physically from your job or from your other engagements. It's easy enough to do that physically, only to find that you've brought them in with you mentally. So, in one sense, you've left the world outside. In another sense, you've brought it right in with you. And I think that's what the Savior is dealing with when he says, don't only enter into your closet, but shut the door. For that's the token that there are certain things shut out and there are other things shut in. Shut the door. Give your undivided attention to the business of prayer. A double-minded man is always going to be unstable, even when it comes to prayer. So give your undivided attention to the matter of prayer. Shut the door. It means I'm not only here for a quick momentary visit. Settle down in God's presence. That takes time. Settle down in God's presence. As the 46th Psalm tells us, be still and know that I am God. Just settle down before the Lord. Take the time that is necessary to clear your mind and to train your thoughts upon the Lord and upon the business in hand. Shut the door. Determined by the grace of God that nothing will deter you from prayer. I maybe shouldn't say this, but as a preacher, I have to be on call 24 hours a day. Doesn't often happen that in the middle of the night people need you, but they may. So my phone is on all the time. I've known of preachers who have told their congregation, don't call me after 9 o'clock at night. I'll have the phone off. I'll be sleeping. Well, if that's their attitude, they'd be better to be merchantmen or soldiers or sailors or whatever, but not preachers. You're on call. However, I have to be honest and say that there is likely to be a time in the day when you'll get my answering machine. Joan and I have discovered that when we have family prayer, it doesn't matter what time of the day we have it, we have moved this around to, it doesn't matter what time of the day it is, that's the time the phone will ring. And I don't recollect one occasion when it has so rung and it has been anything at all of urgency that I had to deal with it right there. And so much against her better judgment, I go over and I flip the phone off and I close all the other doors where there are phones in those rooms and say, we can pick it up in the answering machine and I'll just have to trust the Lord that there's nobody dying in this half hour that we're meeting here. And I do that simply because I find that the easiest thing in the world is to be deterred from the business of prayer. And you will find that as soon as you go to your closet, that's when somebody will be looking for you. And I would strongly suggest that every Christian would have it as a rule that whoever takes that call, unless it is a matter of dire importance, this is my time with God, and I don't give it up. Do not be deterred. Shut the door. In a word, what the Savior's saying really is prepare your heart. And isn't that a theme that runs right throughout the Bible? To neglect to prepare your heart is sin. That was the sin of Rehoboam. He did evil. Why? Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Are our churches not chock full of Rehoboams today? Can we not say that Christians are faltering and falling hither and yon, and they're doing things that are not right with God, and they are doing evil because they have not prepared their heart to seek the Lord? It's a sin to neglect this preparation of heart. Conversely, to prepare your heart is a very good thing. When the prophet had to upbraid Jehoshaphat, he then had to admit that nevertheless there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. The Lord will always honor that preparation of heart. You remember Ezra? That mighty man of God? So great a man that the Jewish rabbis had the tradition that if Moses hadn't given the law, or if God hadn't given the law through Moses, he would most certainly have given it through Ezra. In their estimation, after Moses, the greatest man ever to grace the history of Israel. And what's the secret? Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. The promise of God to every believer is given us in the 10th Psalm. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear. So when the Lord Jesus says, enter your closet, what he is saying is that if you would have communion with God, you must get away from all that would hinder or distract. When he says, shut the door, he's saying, if you would get away from everything that would hinder or distract, then you must give your undivided attention to this matter of prayer and prepare your heart thereto. And then he says, pray to your Father. To give your undivided attention to this matter of prayer, says Jesus, you must focus on your Father. In the faith that he loves you and will hear you. Focus on him. Now, how do you focus on the Lord? This is so very basic to Christian living. And yet I think it's where most of us stumble. Let me ask you just to take an inventory of your own prayer life. Have a look at it. What is it? For most Christians, it's a sudden rush into the presence of God with an attack of the gimmies. Lord, give me this, give me that, give me the other. Lord, do this, do that, do the other. That's all it is. But there's little consciousness of that God is our Father. There's little enjoyment of that spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. How do we overcome this? How do we focus our attention on our Father? Well, could I suggest to you that we do so by attending first to His Word? The Word and prayer always go together. And Christians make a great mistake and they cut themselves off from great blessing when they divorce the reading of Scripture from prayer. Some have the practice of reading the Scripture at one part of the day and praying at another part of the day. Now, I'm all for reading the Scripture and taking time to read the Scripture and then taking time to pray. But let me tell you, there must be a coalescing of those two elements. You must bring them together. The Word and prayer go together. And if you divorce them, you will not be able to pray. It is a very unusual person who can live in the world with all the thoughts and purposes of the world, however legitimate, and then can be faced with all the filth of the world and be bombarded with all the attacks of the world. And then have to come home and deal with all the pressures and problems of family life. and then simply walk into the closet, close the door, and just like that, be able to get right into the presence of God and know what it is to have communion with God. It's very, very unusual. There must be a preparation, and that preparation must be by attending to God's Word. One of the greatest writers on the Lord's Prayer, and I must ask you not to tell Dr. Paisley that I have this man's book in my library. He searched for it once to borrow it. And I honestly couldn't find it at the time. And I've been forever grateful. But one of the greatest writers on the Lord's Prayer, one of the most beautifully simple writers on the Lord's Prayer, is a Church of England minister, much admired by the late C.H. Spurgeon. His name was C.H. Waller. And Waller put it this way: "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth," is no bad preparation for "Hear, Lord, for thy servant speaketh." And if we would want to be able to speak, first of all, we listen. There's one thing that we have lost in most of evangelical Protestantism, possibly because of the boogeyman of mysticism. Any carnal character that comes along and gets into the pulpit that's filled with a swelled head of empty theological speculation, who doesn't know the depths of personal holiness and a personal walk with God, scares Christians off from the secret place with the bogeyman of mysticism, and they haven't a clue what mysticism is. But possibly because of that, in evangelical Protestantism and in most of our Reformed churches, we have lost the secret of listening to our God. What does he say? "Keep silence before me." What does that mean? What does it mean? Come on now. When you tell your child to keep silent, do you expect it to have a PhD in theology before he can understand you? No, no. You expect him to understand, and the Lord does too. Solomon warns us, when you come into the presence of the Lord, watch your step. Watch your words. Watch your words. We knew it last week, and the last time we looked at this, that in the model prayer the Savior gives us, the emphasis, at least in part, is on brevity. Now, there's a place for continuing all night in prayer. But prayer is not great because of its length. It's great because of its depth. If we would be able to come into God's presence, we should, before we speak, do some listening. We should attend to the Word of God. We will find that the Word will give us great thoughts of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.